This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today. All right. Welcome to this episode of We Are Libertarians. I am your host, Chris Spangle. Joining me is Greg Lenz. Greg, how are you?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. I just talked to my mom.
Yeah?
She wanted me to convey the message of, hey, Greg.
Did she really?
She did.
Yeah, oh, she did. Jude. Oh, Jude. I know she appreciates my memes of you.
She does not. She said, why does he always try and make all those memes of you and make you look like a feminine?
A feminine?
That's what she said. I don't know what she's doing, but...
I do not try to make you look like a feminine. I just try to get you the recognition you deserve.
Thank you. Thank you. Today's was you photoshopped me over Magic Johnson's face.
That was older.
And it says, stay positive.
And you were the one, my friend, who wanted me to dig such a meme up.
I did.
Let's be clear. I did not have any intention of digging that up. I was going to keep it to myself. But based on your continued rejection of me, I decided you were actually just wanting me to make it public. And so I did.
I was taking a drink. A lot of alcohol flowing around here today.
Yes. Whole water bottle of vodka.
Yeah, whole water bottle.
My Grey Goose only, top shelf.
My Nalgene 32-ounce bottle is nothing but vodka. That's a joke. I don't actually drink. Fun wall fact. I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but I've never drank on the show. I've never drank.
We're actually like kind of really bad libertarians.
I know.
We have like the most normal like interests and hobbies ever.
Well, Joe Houtman said in the 2010 convention, libertarians love to fight for a life far more interesting than the one they lead.
Right. Because if you were to ask how many parties collectively the Indiana Libertarian Convention attended in that year, 2010, my guess is it's below 50 as a whole.
The less involved, I'm so not involved with the Libertarian Party or Libertarian events at this point in my life. It has been the most fun 6 months of my life. I've never been more social. I've never been around more people. I've never dated more women.
Happier.
Happier.
Positive outlook on life.
I'm not depressed. It's happening, but in a whole different way.
It is. You know, you can only embrace Ron Paul's end time so much before it seeps into your persona.
I was just thinking about this today. I had this project like a year ago at work where I was supposed to walk around and like take a photo of all the people that I didn't know, and I didn't know anybody, and I was kind of nervous about it, and I didn't really want to do it, and I kind of pawned it off on one of the lower level staffers that, you know, really it was my job, but
Caitlin Kapetsky?
No, she was brand new, so she wanted to make an impression. And I think we did have the intern do it at one point, because I just didn't want to go talk to all these people I didn't know. I was scared of the social interaction. Then, like, yesterday, I was, like, walking through the sales department. I'm like, hello, new people. How are you? Hello. What's your name? Libby? Oh, hello. You know, like...
Libby, would you like to go to lunch? A proper welcome.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I like to mentor young people in radio. And but
young women, not young people.
Yeah, that's right. Men are just threats.
They
must be eliminated. And so I was like, you know what? What is this social growth that I have experienced? Oh, yes. It is because I follow politics less and spend less time with libertarians. I'm much more social. I'm looking at people in the eye now.
I'm enjoying, you know, conversation, not around, you know, policy and devastation.
Right. Yeah, so quit libertarianism.
You
it's
did.
Great.
You shrugged.
I shrugged
Spangle
hard.
Shrugged.
Spangle. No, I did not quit libertarianism. I am as libertarian as ever.
You're not as outraged by everything.
I'm really not.
No.
I guess, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because I'm like trying to find balance in my life, and so politics is not my career anymore. And, you know, I worked in politics for 10 years, and then I don't work in politics. I write dick jokes for a living. which is
arguably more beneficial to society.
Good work if you can get it, let me tell you. Who knew playing around with Facebook for 10 years would be a good career move? But
you're a professional troll.
I am.
You are a professional
am.
Troll. And content distributor.
Content distributor and professional mocker of other human beings. And, like, people keep getting their feelings hurt. It's like, don't you know what I do for a living?
Yeah. But people, you know, glass jimmies.
I know.
Glass jimmies.
You rustle their jimmies just a little bit, and they were shattered into a million pieces.
Oh, they're going to call someone and team up on you.
Rustle your jimmies. I don't even know where it started, but for those of you who are not familiar with the rustling of jimmies, you should Google it. The gorilla from, it's like some sort of organic cereal that you can buy at Fresh Time or Whole
now
Foods.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
now I'm completely against it.
I learned that today. I learned where the gorilla.
I've always
was from.
Wondered. I didn't know what the origin was of the actual Jimmy Russell gorilla.
And I've seen it 100 times because my friend, she feeds her kids the cereal,
poisons them.
The gorilla, yes, the gorilla cereal that you buy at Whole Foods. And I've seen it 100 times, and it just never connected with me until today. Until I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's where it came from.
So it really, even the cereal isn't named like Jimmy's or
no,
like
I don't
Gorilla
think so.
Jimmy's cereal.
I'll have
or
to find the cereal. I'll show you. But
interesting.
Yeah,
it never really occurred to me. I just assumed someone on 4chan did it, and it spread like wildfire.
Yeah. No. So it's. I think I saw this meme, and I'm trusting the internet to give me responsible. I meant to actually go to Fresh Time, which is a local kind of
Whole Foods, slightly.
Earth Fair, not Trader Joe's, because Trader Joe's is kind of, I'm not a huge fan.
They're GMO, and I know how you feel about GMO.
I know, I don't like GMOs.
I know.
I like my I like my food GMO free. I have always said, my favorite genetically modified organism is Maya Axton. So I. What?
Whoop!
I've said that straight to her face.
Have you really?
Yeah, just put an AK in my mouth, but it was worth it.
Yeah, that would have been worth it.
But that's what she does every time I see her. So
yeah,
God bless Maya. Maya's you have to go to Cop Block, and Maya got into some stuff with the Shelbyville police or filmed the Shelbyville police or something. So go check out Cop Block and see what Maya's up to. if you want to keep up with Maya Axton these days, you've got to go to Cop Block and see where she's being arrested.
Yeah. Enjoy.
But no, I have found over the last couple years, as I have moved on into, you know, other career forms, it just is less politics or less pressing. And I think that is expressed in what I talk about here and what I'm interested here, by, you know, I'm trying for the listeners. Honestly, if it weren't for this podcast, I would never watch the news again and not give a crap.
Yeah, until you get certain things hit your buttons.
Of course.
Edward Snowden was one that really got you fired
up.
That
got me motivated.
Because that was one where I hadn't been following any of that story at all. And then when you were like, we were getting ready to podcast and it broke on CNN.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know anything about the back end of the surveillance state. And you were rustled and ready to take down the government. That was the move from minarchist to anarchist.
Yeah, rustling your jimmies, by the way. I didn't finish that thought. It's just sort of like it's become a phrase for me that I can't even, it's like become I don't even know
you're
how
to upset.
Explain it.
You're frustrated. You're angered, but you don't know how to deal with it.
Irritated.
Yeah,
like someone is picking on you. You're peeved.
But then you can get maximum rustled, and then you're really angry.
And then the rustling intensifies.
It intensifies. Yes.
But do not be upset.
Yes.
So
as the mower zooms off,
there's like 5 listeners who really are laughing right now. Yeah, Snowden got me peeved. CPS, anything dealing with domestic violence or child abuse.
Rachel's
story. Yeah. Like when the government is killing people, I tend to get upset by that.
Yeah, RFRA rustled your jimmies.
Right. But I will say, RFRA was more like, let's have a good time making memes of Mike Pence and his man boobs.
Minions.
I meant man boobs, but minions too. I guess I just have a really hard time connecting with the political climate anymore, and I always was sort of disconnected from the typical stuff, but I have a hard time connecting to it today. What was it that I saw? It was so stupid.
And well, we're in election mode, and so there's no real policy. There's no real votes. There's nothing substantial on the verge of being passed.
Right. But even if something substantial is about to be passed, I just sort of go, okay, this is all bullcrap, and it's not going to matter, and nothing's going to change.
No, like today the House voted to defund Planned Parenthood, but there's absolutely no chance of that ever becoming law.
Yeah, so Breitbart's big thing that they're really upset about today is that Michelle Obama wore a $2,300 dress to greet Pope Francis. And all the Republicans, of all the things that all the Republicans could be outraged by, that is what they are most outraged by today.
And they should have been more outraged by what was in the actual content of his address to Congress.
Well, let me tell you, the Pope comes to America and rustled the shit out of Greg Lenz.
Oh. Oh, boy. I was running hot. I was at the point we needed another great schism. We needed a Pope of Avignon and then a Pope in Rome. I was very upset with Francis.
He rustled your jimmies hard.
I have no toleration for people who spout off about things they do not know and then claim it's for the common good, even though they disregard all of human history that predates it, because he cares.
He does.
God
care.
Forbid the Democrats ask him about how he feels about abortion, but let's not talk about that. He's an expert on all things social justice and environmental.
Yeah. So should we start with the Pope since he's wrestled your jimmies?
Do you want to do that, or do you want to start with just a brief rundown of the... I know you did watch clips of the actual
I watched
debate.
For the listeners, like I said, I would give up. I would fully give up if it weren't... If I didn't love doing this so much, and I didn't love our listeners so much, and how when I talk about the listeners and the fans of this show, I often berate them and treat them cruelly. I was called a bully by a coworker today, and
that they weren't a fan. I'd imagine they don't listen.
But I gave her two for flinching. So okay, that's a joke.
Oh boy.
So I talk with sarcasm and irony, and I make you feel unloved, listener. Imagine why I imagine what it's like to be someone that I love.
Immeasurably worse.
Immeasurably. I was called a relationship anarchist today. And
you were. I noticed that today.
Allison, which I don't know if that means that there's just nothing there when I'm in a relationship.
Or you don't follow rules.
I'm an anarcho-terrorist. There are no rules when you're in a relationship. There will be love, and that is it.
And there will be no guidelines around how it's administered.
It will be generous, and it will be thorough.
Free-range, generous, and thorough love from Chris Spangle.
And very organic.
Oh, God.
And all natural. So I love the people that listen to the show, and I'm amazed that we're over 4,000 listeners to an episode at this point.
Downloads.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I don't know what's wrong with you people, but we appreciate it. So I actually watched 3/4 of the Republican presidential debate, and you have no idea what that was like for me.
You have to enjoy it, though, because it's such drama and theater.
It's that I worked in it for so long. And I know that all of them are full of so much shit.
Yeah.
And I know like what it's like to prep for a debate and all the bullshit that you prep for the debate and all the false, like, if he says this, then we got to say this. And like all the
10-word answers.
All the inauthentic. It's like Scott Walker's line, you know, and he was just so proud of his little smarmy self. And he was just so, and Donald Trump's and Jeb smirked because they knew that it was such a
rehearsed
little line about, well, Donald, we haven't a princess in the White House. We don't need another one.
And then he just kind of smirked off and did the Bush look into the distance.
Right, yeah.
Self-satisfied.
Like, I have won the debate now. And no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
So I watched 3/4 of that debate. I did not get to finish it. I was not as... I didn't have... There wasn't a lot to it. So, but we can talk about it later. We can talk about the Pope now. We can talk about... Or should we just get the Republican stuff over with?
I feel like since you watched it and it's on your, you know, it's the most recent thing in your mind. Since I don't know how much you've read about the Pope.
It's on my heart.
It's on your heart.
I read about half the speech.
Okay.
And I do have some thoughts on His Holiness.
Yeah.
And I still, like, desperately want to be the guy that walks into the chamber and yells, Mr. Speaker!
Yeah, that's the greatest job in the world.
At the Pope of the Holy See! I think that's awesome. And John Boehner, why are you always crying?
You know, though, it is. You know what? I do appreciate that, because most people are so glib and cynical it wouldn't move them at all. You know, they've been around Washington. They know all the nastiness and the bitterness and the fake interactions. And, you know, even though John Boehner can at times appear soulless and uncaring and, oh, God, Lord knows, dismissive, he actually, when he was announced as Speaker of the House, when the president, during a State of the Union announced it, right. He broke down. And, you know, today he broke down because of the historic nature of the Pope's address. And you know what? It shows me that he does still have something in there beating.
Yeah.
You know,
he's still a human being inside that politician's face.
Right. You know, like, you know, everyone else just sits there like, oh, why is this guy wearing white? That offends me. It's probably racist. Not Boehner, though. He takes it in for what it is.
Yeah. And I guess I shouldn't mock him too much, because like him, like Bush, I am an emotional creature myself. And I was like... confronting James Neese in the nude. I should not admit this on the podcast. I broke down and started crying to a Kanye West song today.
Did you?
Yes.
What was it? Gold Digger?
No, too. That would have made me angry. Reminded me too much of my past. It was Only One. I think it's Only. It's the one that he just did with Paul McCartney, and it was about his mom. And it was just really sweet and touching, and I'm a man of many emotions. I'm a very passionate man, you know this, and it caught me, and I started weeping like a little girl.
Well, there you go.
Just like John Boehner. I'm not going to make fun of him.
He weeps because the Pope has a historic address of Congress, and a bar hand from Cincinnati gets lucky enough to be Speaker and witness it. You weep because you identify so much with Kanye's upbringing.
I do. You'd be surprised.
The parallels are all there, similar, and not Joe.
You'd be surprised at how similar Kanye's upbringing and Kanye himself and I are.
Although, if you marry Kim Kardashian, I'm going to...
You just disown me?
No. Oh, God, no. I'm a big Kim K fan.
Really? I'm more of a... I like Khloe's attitude. You put Khloe's attitude in the other one.
Yeah.
Not
Khloe or Courtney?
Courtney. Put Khloe's attitude in Courtney, and we have
future Mrs. Spangle?
Future ex Mrs. Spangle.
Aha. Uh-huh.
There's no way to last.
Since she is 30.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it has nothing to do with it. I'm thinking more of the emotional trauma that will befall me as I join the Kardashian clan, and the loss of our listenership and disappointment, and the fact that I will soon become a woman just like Bruce Jenner. Look what it did to him.
Well, you'll have something to bond over.
Right. So stupid. All right. I don't know what we're talking about.
We're talking about the Pope's address, okay. But we're going to really talk about the Republican debate. We're going to go with that first.
Okay.
Your thoughts on the debate. Who stood out? Who did you not hate? Who did you think looked remotely competent? Just general ideas. They're not all idiots.
Man, that's tough. No.
What about the moderators? Even the moderators.
Jake Tapper. Don't you make fun of Jake Tapper. That's my boy. You know how much I love Jake Tapper.
You do.
Long time man crush on Jake. Or as Dennis Miller calls him, Tap Tap, which is the most annoying nickname on the planet. Other than Spanky, Aaron Holderfield.
Chrissy Gillette.
I'm not bitter from seventh grade or anything. Now, I thought, if you look at the polls, people clearly are falling out of love with Donald Trump. I felt...
You think so?
Yeah. I felt that he looked really... he made Rand Paul's point for him twice. You know, they asked him about Rand Paul's comments about how he shouldn't have his finger on the button. And
then, he didn't feel comfortable.
Right. And then, is your temperament... Are you able
suited.
To, yeah, are you able to handle being president of the United States? And then went on to, like, had the great line about saying, you know, I never made fun of your looks, and there's plenty to make fun about, which kind of made him laugh. And then like, he just mocked him and was rude to Rand Paul.
Ignored the question completely
and just proved his point. And then Rand Paul had a really nice rebuttal and then just kind of tipped the lay-in right in, and then Trump responded and made himself look even worse. And just Trump really took the bait every single time.
Even the most slight or the smallest slight to him or his persona, and he comes back at you, I mean, scorched earth, which
right.
Part of me does like that because everybody's so buttoned up and everybody's right. So, you know, they'll do the underhanded, you know, the Chris Christie type of backhanded compliment, really. And Donald doesn't do that. Donald comes straight for your throat, regardless of where you are in the polls, says, why are you even here? There's enough people on stage already. You have like 1%. And I love Rand to death. And that hurt me. That actually hurt me, but I had no comeback for that. What do I say? Because he does at the time.
He's right.
Now, by Donald attacking him, he gets a surge, mm-hmm. You know, which thank you, Donald. And I still think Rand should continue attacking him because
it's working.
It is. And people don't like Rand Paul that are Republicans.
Right.
They don't trust him, especially the establishment. They don't identify with him because he's not populist in the way that Scott Walker used to be.
Yeah.
You know, in the way that Donald is. But they do identify with him when he's great at putting someone down, but doing it with substance.
Yeah.
You know, and that's about the only thing he right now appears to be good at on the debates, but he handled it like a pro and a statesman.
But if he can be the guy that helps the GOP, listen up, Rand Paul fans who want to change the GOP from the inside, if he can be the guy that is the errand boy for the RNC and Reince Priebus and helps really continue tacking Donald and drawing him out and does the RNC a solid, that could help Rand's chances. Now, Creighton would say, well, that's great. Be the errand boy for Reince Priebus all day long. That helps him get the nomination, which there's a valuable argument for that. But then there's also the argument that you're helping the RNC and everything that is evil on the planet.
And the DNC.
The DNC, yeah. I consider
both
them
NCs.
Equal, right. Even the LNC sometimes.
Evil, too.
Trust me.
Bob Barr.
Yeah. Wayne Allen Root. Let's get it going.
Yeah.
Rand definitely looked, none of them to me, I guess I hate this phrase, none of them looked presidential.
Really?
It just seemed to be a lot of bickering. It seemed to be a lot of back and forth, kind of trying to get each other. You know, Mike Huckabee coming out in his intro talking about Hillary Clinton. I did think Huckabee is really likable.
Yep.
I've talked about this on the podcast. I really like Huckabee is like, as a person, I'd want to hang out with Mike Huckabee, I think, and have a conversation. Like, I think his politics are
Panders.
He's just so pandering, but like, he's so comfortable on stage. Like, he always looks comfortable and he always looks folksy and funny. And, you know, and like, I think he's like a secure person. So I feel
completely.
I feel like he's the only real authentic one up there other than Donald Trump, but he's just like an exposed nerve of mental illness that you can't help but watch.
He makes it so much better because right. I would struggle to watch that debate without the Donald.
Oh,
I really
it'd be
if
so
it
boring.
Was Jeb Carley, Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz doing his best Jimmy Stewart all the time.
Ted Cruz is insufferable.
He really is.
And there was a point in time on this podcast where I have flirted with Ted Cruz and wanted to like Ted Cruz, but he is just a hemorrhoidal anus.
If there were ever really lizard people and we were able to document it, I would think it'd be Ted Cruz because I watched him on Colbert and he tried so hard and there was so much desperation when Stephen Colbert leads with an easy one. What is it like to be run for president? And he goes, basically, I'm really sick of, can I have some money? You know, and he just kept talking about how all he does is ask people for money and
right.
how it's been exhilarating and he loves it. But all he really does is ask people for money. And it was so rehearsed and canned. It was like Scott Walker's
right.
one-liner that literally drove him out of the race. So anybody else thinking about a one-liner that's rehearsed, don't do it because look what happened to Walker.
Because none of them have figured out that the key to success in politics in 2015 is authenticity.
Yep.
That is the key to success in life. I mean, look at me. Could you be any more successful?
No. I mean, a critically acclaimed, award-winning libertarian show with throngs of female fans.
I will say, this is the first. There's one girl this week, and I screenshotted it to show our fellow podcast friends because they weren't going to believe it either. Said, And I didn't respond right away, and so she followed.
How do you respond to that?
She followed up with a please several minutes later. Will you please tell me about your podcast? Several minutes later, please. I had a woman beg to hear about my libertarian podcast this week.
That's how you know you've crossed the threshold of success in podcasting. When a single female wants to hear about it. Rather than, because you also told her about your background, what you do for a living.
Right.
All these other things, but the one thing that mattered to her.
Was that libertarian podcast.
That tells me we've made it, my friend.
Right, I'm going to make her a single mother of two.
Whoa.
All right, no, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. It's a joke. That is like literally like the funniest thing I heard all week long, and it makes me die laughing every time I say it. And it's totally inappropriate. I apologize to
both women,
both female listeners, Aria, and the other one, Sam,
Samantha Wotes, yep. Christy Avery. My God, we have throngs.
We're almost up to tens and tens of female listeners.
Unbelievable.
We've got 4,000. We've got
4,000 weekly downloads.
We've got 3,950 virgins and 50 women.
Yep.
That's
it's a good ratio for libertarians, though.
Yeah, that's a real good ratio.
Yeah.
but
I just have a thought.
Yeah.
Can't share it?
No.
Hell, it'll be all right.
No, I'll tell you later.
All right.
It's a Tracy Morgan joke.
Oh, boy. It's going to get racist and Harry's not here.
Yeah, we have no insurance to cover this.
Oh.
Now... I have derailed us.
The authenticity. And yeah. So, like, the rehearsed lines, not understanding that being authentic is the key to success.
That's why I love Ron Paul. Ron Paul's totally authentic and doesn't give a shit.
Nope.
That's why I don't like Rand Paul, is Rand Paul just feels like a phony to me.
It's funny, I told you, I watched it the night of and then read through the transcript that morning, and what stunned me is, you know, when I watch Ron Paul or I watch Rand Paul, is... I never, even though I agree with everything they say, they give them perfect breakdowns and analysis and expose the hypocrisy of existing policy or what other candidates are saying. They never say, and that's because when I am president or when I am president, we will do this. When I went down and counted, Rand Paul didn't even say it one time. What he actually said was after Jake Tapper asked him to, while everyone was standing in the Reagan Museum, behind that, the airliner, former Air Force One, what would America look like after a blank presidency? What would it look like after a Rand Paul presidency? He even struggled to come up with something then because I don't think he's even imagined it.
Right.
I don't think Ron Paul ever thought in a million years, what would it actually be like if I kicked my boots up on the desk and I were making, you know, after a hard day's work.
Right.
And the same with Rand. And I thought, you're running for president.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be told how you're going to fix things, not right. How the hell we got where we are.
That's like Donald Trump is leading in the polls, and he's like, listen here, we're going to get rid of Obamacare, and we're going to replace it with something fantastic.
Huge.
It's going to be amazing. Like, okay, so what are the specifics of your healthcare proposal? It's going to be fantastic.
I hate your gotcha questions, and this is entirely what's wrong with the media.
Like, you ask Rand Paul, he's like, I'm here on page 478 of my plan. I mean, you know, there's, and that was always the problem with guys like, what, not Spiro Agnew, who was the Republican that they ran against? I can't think of it. Adlai Stevenson.
Adlai Stevenson?
Like, here was
the Democrat?
He was this brilliant man who ran for president multiple times because he was so freaking smart.
Yeah.
But he just couldn't connect to the passion of the people.
No, and, you know, there was even, when Kennedy won, there was a movement to broker the convention and have Adlai Stevenson lose for a third time. And thank God they ran Kennedy instead. And that's the, you know, you never have JFK, you never have that... restoration of we can do it in American politics if they run Adlai.
Right.
But, you know, there's always that Mitt Romney's that guy for the mm-hmm. Republicans. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the one that always should have won.
He's they're talking about him riding in his
right now.
Riding in his big white magic
Mormon horse.
Magic underpants.
Yeah.
And
he is
the Republicans.
You know, it's funny is he's a great man. He's a high character man and he genuinely does care about and he knows policy inside and out.
Right.
But he can't sell it.
Nope.
Because Trump can sell it. Trump sells I mean, in software, there's a thing called vaporware where you go out and announce all these great things and it doesn't even exist yet. And that's what's going to be in Windows 10. Right. Trump sells vaporware of politics. I'm going to build a wall and Mexico's going to pay for it, you know,
and Americans are going to build it.
Yeah. And yet he's a Republican and he's got Democrat support. And he just announced he's no longer going to be on Fox News. He's no longer going to appear on Fox News anymore because he doesn't think they're treating him fairly.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't care. Bill O'Reilly's boring show. You know, I think Megyn Kelly should go on another 11-day vacation. Like, he just
so she can bleed out of her whatever.
Yeah, and he just hits home run after home run. It's because all they can do, all Fox can do, is talk about how he's not coming on.
Right.
Because that's the only interesting thing anyone said today.
He is just he is so quick at trolling. He is such a masterful. We have so much respect for him.
I have incredible respect for the Donald because this has made this election interesting.
And yeah, he's great at entertaining. And he, just like Carly Fiorina said, I forget what he, there was one point where he was just so quick at some sort of snappy comeback. At Jeb, somebody.
Jeb, about the casinos in Florida. Yeah. Yeah, he'd have got it if he'd have wanted it.
But yeah.
He didn't. And Jeb was like, no, you wouldn't. He's like, oh, yeah, I would. Oh, you yeah. know I would, Jeb. I get what I want. I win. And Jeb's just like, what do you say?
Well, you can't say anything because he's so convinced that he will get whatever he wants.
Yeah, and you know what? Most of the time he does.
Probably.
You know, he probably would have if he'd have got the right leverage.
He has convinced me that he's not gone bankrupt because he just said, no, did not go bankrupt.
Yeah.
Okay, I believe you.
Well, I mean, his companies did. Right. You know, and like, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, a lot of his companies, well, you know, he licenses his name to everything. He's got right. cologne, ties, right. you know, shoelaces. And so, yeah, some of those that he's licensed to have gone bankrupt, but he doesn't have any stake in it.
I just turned down $5 million.
From a major donor. Like, you know, and like that's the thing is part of, you know, Bill, or I told you, Bill Burr,
right.
the comedian, was on Conan last night.
Okay.
And that was Conan's question. How do you feel about Donald Trump? And he's like, I love him. I think Donald Trump is amazing because he just says exactly what he wants and nobody can buy him. And then, you know, he goes, what do you mean? Like, Conan goes, what do you mean? Like how he talks about women? He goes, yeah, look at how he talks about women. The commentator goes, you call women fat pigs. And Donald goes, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. I called Rosie a fat pig. And they're like, well, you've said other things about women. He goes, yeah, I did.
You're huge.
Yeah, you're huge.
You're enormous. Yeah. He just.
Look at Carly's face. Who would vote for that? And then calls her a beautiful woman on the very next debate,
right.
which was the one time I actually think we saw just a glimmer of insecurity because he knows that if he just is over the top with women
right.
and sexist as all get out, one, his daughters and his wife are going to be mad.
Right.
But two, all the support he has could go away immediately. And Carly handled that like a pro.
Yeah, she handled everything like a pro.
She did. She was impressive except for I thought she was amazing from a command presence. Like she had the biggest set of balls on stage.
Yeah.
And she knew what she was talking about, except for Putin, when she said she wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah, which is weird.
Yeah, and then Rand was able to go, well, what if we hadn't talked to Gorbachev during the, you know.
He scored with that one, for sure.
Like, all his points are because everybody else sounds ridiculous.
Right.
You know, like, and that makes people think, well, hell, okay, I don't even know what he supports, but at least he doesn't sound like a complete moron.
Yeah. And that was always the thing with Ron Paul is like, yeah, even like socialist and hardcore liberals like, yeah, I got respect for the guy.
Yeah. I mean, he does tell it like it is. But, you know, I thought Marco Rubio to me did better than he's ever done.
Okay.
He was fantastic. His opening statement, you know, he said he brought his own water because it was like 90 degrees in there.
But that was rehearsed and stupid.
It was, but it was kind of paid reference.
It was kind of charming in like a dorky dad sort of way.
Yeah. Like, you knew, you know, would he pass out on stage without his bottled water? You know, but then
tune into the next debate to find out if Marco Rubio will die of thirst.
Yeah, you know, I thought Scott Walker was going to pass out. I've never seen a politician sweat like that.
He's one of those guys that looks like he didn't gestate long enough. he looks like we should just put him back in his mom's womb for another
put him in
weeks.
The crock pot for another couple of hours on high. It'll be fine.
I never know which way he's looking at me. He just doesn't like, he looks like he should have a mustache
yeah.
and run a mall security team.
Yes.
He's just not presidential.
Something. Like, you look at him and you say, whatever his record is, whatever the background is, and the Coke backing, all that money, and it's just not there.
Right.
None of it's there because he doesn't sound like he's a commander. he doesn't even inspire confidence when he talks about his own accomplishments.
Right.
Like, I don't even believe he actually did the stuff he does or, you know, accomplished in his past.
Donald Trump wrecked him.
Oh, it ended up completely.
I mean, he said, you know, I don't want to sit here and talk to a guy who was supposed to do this and then ended up with a $2.2 billion deficit. And then Scott Walker tried to defend it and could not defend it. And he's like, no, it was a billion dollar surplus or something like that. Yeah. It's like some crazy disparity. But I just found myself going, I know Donald Trump's batshit crazy, but I feel like he's right about Scott Walker, and I don't even know the truth, but so I'm going to believe Donald Trump.
He says it confidently, right. Regardless of whether
right.
It's true.
Right.
Like, and that's his whole campaign. Because he says things that are just pure generalities, you're like, you know what? He'll figure it out. Because, you know what? Ultimately, he'll bring in good people, knowing that he's way in over his head, and he'll put together a plan. Now, getting Mexico to pay for a high-security wall that won't allow for immigration and the drug trade in between the United States and Mexico will never happen.
Right.
If you are one of those Republicans that somehow stumbled upon this show and you think he's going to build a wall,
you're out of your fucking mind.
Seriously. Seriously, just move to Vatican City and believe everything Pope Francis says. Because, you know, there's no way Mexico's going to pay for the wall to stop immigrants from coming into the United States. Not on this planet.
And I thought Bush actually scored fairly highly with me by saying, Donald, you know it's not going to happen. You're full of shit, buddy.
Yeah.
Cut it out. Jeb. No. Shut up.
He did. He put it, and, you know, then he asked him to apologize to his wife for the comments about, you know, speaking Spanish.
Right.
And Trump had a little tough time. Yeah. And that's why he immediately attacked Rand as soon as that whole interaction went down.
Right.
You know, and that worked.
Yeah.
It did.
Donald fell 3 points. In an aggregation of polls,
yeah.
Donald fell the most, which was 3 points down.
Yeah, he moved up in Iowa because Ben Carson collapsed, which I don't know. Like, everybody made fun of Jeb Bush for not having energy. Ben Carson has no energy.
I don't remember him in the debate. I don't remember. I sort of remember Kasich because of Kasich's stupid, I flew with Reagan on this plane. But when he talked, he seemed like a grown-up, and he seemed respectable.
Like, he's Jeb's understudy should right. Jeb fall apart.
Right.
And the establishment needs the number two.
I found myself not thinking Jeb, like, I've not really seen Jeb in a debate or talk or watched him give a speech or anything. I found myself going, okay, this guy's not an idiot like his brother.
This was the best one.
Yeah.
And Trump even acknowledged, he goes, I'm glad you have more energy tonight. Yeah,
that was the trolling line that
I loved. A beautiful line.
Right.
Because Jeb did disappear in the first, and he actually showed up. Like, you know, I mean, he basically, the first debate was like Obama versus Romney when he didn't show.
Right.
And in the second debate, Jeb Bush really showed that he isn't just off there thinking about things.
Right.
You know?
But Ben Carson, I don't remember Huckabee in the debate. I don't remember.
Huckabee didn't talk the first 11 minutes.
Yeah. And then they finally got to him and apologized. But Ben Carson was totally forgettable. And
I still don't know what he stands for other than neurosurgery.
What it was like some sort of comedian or comedy bit or something, and they're recapping the debate, and have you seen the bad lip sync of the first lip syncing of the first Republican debate? I don't know if we put it up on the We Are Libertarians Facebook page. I will, but it was the bad lip syncing of the first debate, and they went to Ben Carson, and it was like,
yeah. He is so soft-spoken, and he walks right. with his eyes closed, which freaks me out. Did you notice that?
No.
He entered, and like when he left, the way he walks, like he just, I don't know if he was praying or what he was doing to himself, but it looked like, you know, he had the Catholic energies flowing through him while he was being drawn to his podium.
He was withdrawing the spirit of Christ.
Apparently. And he just didn't show up at all. He really flopped. Marco Rubio, though, was so phenomenal. Because I wrote in the secret group, or the news group,
mm-hmm.
You know, from my analysis, or from what I could tell, foreign policy-wise, there's possibly a fifth, that are capable of being president based on the world the way it is right now.
Right.
You know, and Rubio to me stood out so much. Rand was phenomenal, saying if you want to send your kids into Iraq again, or you want another Iraq war, There's always another Bush or a Clinton to do that.
Right.
You know, he was great. And then calling out Carly Fiorina for not forgiving Putin the silent treatment, which is
right.
must be what they teach in international studies classes at the graduate level nowadays.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But then Rubio was great. Kasich was very good because he's had he's dealt with that before, being a member of Congress for so long. Jeb could handle it just from growing up as a Bush. But Trump can't. Maybe he'd bring good enough people to do it, but he struggled. He just struggles with foreign policy. Like, he's in South Carolina today doing an event for African Americans and Chambers of Commerce. Well, his new target's Rubio. He sees Rubio as a threat because Rubio got a big bump. And he goes, this guy in his water, I don't understand it. I've never seen anything like
this. That's like the New York thing. Like, you can get away with it. Like, this guy and his water.
I know. Yeah, he's like, he just drink water, water, water. And like, he's supposed to be talking about foreign policy. And someone goes, sir, well, give me your analysis on Syria. And he goes, oh, I know a lot about Syria. But Marco Rubio. You know, he just, unless he gets better at that, that's going to, because Hugh Hewitt, you know, one of the other moderators, was the one that tripped him up on the difference between CUDs, like the Iranian Navy SEALs, and the Kurds, Kurdistan, and the Peshmerga Army. And that really made him mad that Trump didn't even really know the difference. But then Hugh Hewitt had to apologize to Trump because Trump's got so much, you know, his listeners support Trump so much.
Right.
You know, it's amazing the kind of support he has.
Because, listen to me carefully. Isolate this clip, share it with all your friends and family, your Uncle Dennis at Thanksgiving, your Aunt Donna.
Well,
maybe not with Aunt Donna. Most Republican voters, especially ones that listen to talk radio, especially ones that go to Breitbart every day, are fucking stupid. They're morons. And they are driving that party straight into hell because they're all dumb. Do you agree or not agree?
It's like Sarah Palin replicated.
She
when
did.
National Review isn't the first website you go to as a Republican, and Town Hall, Red State, any of Breitbart, I mean,
chicks
other than James
right.
O'Keefe. Oh,
chicks on the right.
Chicks on the Reich.
But there was a photo of Pope Francis meeting Obama. And I posted this on the Facebook page today, and Obama has, it was like American Airlines or whatever, and they have like wings, like eagle wings that come up, and it like looked like Obama had devil horns. And it was like every Republican, serious major Republican page is like, this speaks volumes, this is a sign, it's huge, he is the Antichrist.
Yes.
Like, I now read every town hall or conservativeprogress.org, you know.
Yeah.
Facebook page in the voice of Donald Trump.
You have to, because he even makes them look stupid.
Right.
Because if he's not going to appear on Fox, that means he's going to be on CNN, MSNBC, NBC, and like the Meet the Press type shows.
Yep.
And if he does that, he's going to hit so many people who don't like the Republican Party, but now they're just going to listen to his platitudes and they don't know anything about politics. They just watch it to watch the news. Donald Trump might be formulating a strategy where he's going to pick off enough Democrats in open primary states, it's going to be over. Because Donald, what else could he possibly do that could be so bad that it, I mean, he called John McCain a loser because he got captured. You know, like, you know,
I still can't believe it.
I know.
Like, it is honestly like,
he has done everything you can do to torpedo your own campaign, and he goes up.
I know. It's amazing. I mean, I was at lunch with some coworkers, and they were like, seriously, who's going to be the nominee? And I said, well, I think it's going to be Kasich Biden. But I could see it being Trump-Biden.
Yeah.
And I almost think that it's guaranteed that Biden gets a nomination.
And who would have thought Joe Biden, and I love Joe, but he is no policy wonk, but he would look light years ahead of Trump in a debate one-on-one.
He would look like a grown-up. He'd look like an intelligent grown-up.
It'd be the matchup Uncle Joe's been waiting on his whole life. You know,
I really feel like this is a Glenn Beck novel. It's a ghost-written Glenn Beck novel that is taking place right now. The Overton window is happening.
And you know what's funny is we enjoy it.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sick, because I know Nick Taylor, Creighton Harrington are outraged. Every they have one post a day on social media outraged about Trump.
Aw.
You know, calling out Trump for being so stupid and avoiding any question on serious policy. And I told Nick last night on a post, I said, Nick, you got to remember, Trump isn't dumb. Trump just is inexperienced, and he's doing what he does well, because that's That's the only thing he's got right now.
Where he's gotten to where he's at.
Yep. And now that won't always be the case. But to think that a man who really did, before he just started licensing his name, he pulled off complete restoration and renovation of Penn Station or Union Station in New York City. He pulled off the Trump Tower. Like, these were thorny. No one wanted to invest their parts of New York. Because he was able to put the money together, they flourished.
But there's a difference between a man at 40 and a man at 70.
Totally. And like now, it's is he lazy? Because if he's lazy, he's not going to learn the policy. Mm-hmm. But don't think for a second he's not capable. Mm-hmm. And if he does, and if he really does listen, like he went and spent 4 hours with Jeff Sessions on immigration policy, and he starts to know the thing. You don't have to know it all, but you got to know how to sound smart.
Right.
And if he does that, which he's completely capable of, it's over, because that's the only detraction. Like, all the detractors have one thing.
Yeah.
Trump doesn't ever say anything.
Yep.
All of a sudden, when he starts saying things, well then it's all the stuff he's already defeated.
Yeah.
Yes, I am a blowhard. Yes, I do say terrible things to women.
Or if he comes around and starts showing off people that he's recruited to be part of his team, and it's bipartisan, and he's not been bought off, and blah, blah, blah. There's a very real possibility that he is the nominee and maybe president.
Because the Republicans can't just run Jeb.
No.
They can't run Jeb. Jeb Bush is a loss. Jeb Bush loses to Hillary. Jeb Bush loses to Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Jeb Bush maybe loses to Bernie.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, it would be neck and neck.
How does Trump affect people? Like, I think Scott Walker, a large reason that he's out and that Rick Perry are out, is just because guys like that needed, like Rick Perry needed Trump out of the way so he could take the time to look like a smart guy who was not dumb like he was last time. Scott Walker needs Trump out of the way so he can raise his name ID, so he can raise money. You know, and it all comes down to money. Ted Cruz is totally right. It's all about fundraising.
Mm-hmm.
And so it comes down to, you know, and I can't imagine. You look at Scott Walker's, the size of his organization, according to Politico, when he dropped out.
90 people.
90 people is just so big for so soon already. I mean, it's just crazy.
Well, he got the blessing, though, from the Kochs early on. They said, we think it should be Scott Walker.
Blank check.
Poured money into it, and you should know. It's like they didn't meet with him.
Right.
Just because he won in a liberal state, which is really liberal rural. Right. Like, Madison's hardcore Democrat, right. But the rest of the state is rural farmers,
right.
You know, manufacturing. And so Wisconsin's a poor test for what really works, like, for a candidate. And, you know, then they were thinking about backing Christie, who you can't back, because Christie took it upon himself. Guys, shouldn't we be talking about the issues? You know?
Yeah,
and
but
that
I'll
made
tell
me
you
want to hit him.
He, for guys, like, my brother and my dad, you know, think Biden is the devil, worse than Clinton. Trump, I kind of like that Trump.
He wants to make America great again, and who can be against that?
You know, and my brother and dad, they're like, that Christie guy, he's got a lot of good points, because he has the same thing as Trump.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, Trump is so over the top that, like, Christie looks like normal next to him.
Yeah, he looks like a political version of Trump.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But then he has such discrepancies on policies, and, you know, doesn't like to talk about when Hurricane Sandy hit that he welcomed Obama in. He did the op-ed or the photo, and the Republican Party still
he'll
is
never,
pissed off about
he'll
that.
He'll never win a primary.
No. The fact that he took Obama in right before the election and did all those photo shoots trying to get federal funds and showing him around, regardless of whether that was the right thing to do or not, which it clearly was.
It was. And if you think that it wasn't, you're an idiot.
You can't get past your own political blinders.
You're full of dogma. You're not living in reality. And
yeah.
That is the problem with the Republican Party. They live within a world of dogma where everything is dogma, dogma, dogma. And if you threaten my dogma, then I will attack you like a wounded animal, because I'm so insecure in my beliefs that I must attack you.
Should I encounter anything in the opposite, I got to bury my head in the sand and think that you're the devil at my door.
Yeah. So, speaking of which, do you want to talk about Pope Francis now?
Yeah. I was just going to wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah. To me, Rubio made a huge jump because he looks so serious for such a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing, Rand got a nice bump. It's funny. The left news, the night of the thing, all said Rand won.
Right.
Fox, Rand Paul's on his way out.
Right.
You know, because he looked reasonable. And right. the Nation article that was written about him thought, you know, Rand actually sounds like the old right. Maybe we should be cautious before, you know, into places. And he actually was informed, which is not normally the case for the Republican candidate.
Which is why I've never understood, like, Think Progress and Salon and their attacks on Rand, because he's, like, the most natural ally for a liberal-minded, a Bernie Sanders supporter is going to look at Rand Paul and say, okay, there's a lot in common here.
Yeah, the only difference is the economics. Everything else is spot on together.
Right.
Now, the Carly Fiorina, just purely by her presence and her first time getting in front of the masses since she was in the JV debate last time, she impressed. I mean, that woman is iron. I was really amazed how she didn't bat an eye at just going after everybody. And she seemed really informed to a level I wouldn't have expected from an outsider. And then Ted Cruz is doing his best to ride Trump's coattails, and then he's banking on Trump eventually pulling out, and then Ted gets his supporters.
Ted Cruz was the most ingenuine asshole I've ever... He annoyed me.
Is it an act, or is he really like that?
It really, I think he's really like that. Like if you hear Glenn Beck talk about him and like the way that they talk about him, like Glenn Beck and all his guys, there. I haven't listened in a few months, so I don't know what they say now. But like back when they used to talk about it, it's like he. I mean, you heard Larry Reed from Fee.
Yeah.
The Fee president was like, yeah, he used to come to, I mean, when he was like 16, 17, he was really into Austrian economics and he'd come to Fee events.
Yeah, like the summer internship program.
I just feel like he's an enormous dork and is like projecting what he thinks a politician should be.
Yeah, because like it's like all I can think of, and do you remember Jimmy Stewart, right?
Yeah.
Like I see him and I see Jimmy Stewart. Like I see that very odd cadence and speech pattern that he has,
right.
and then always ducking his head into his shoulders anytime he tries to talk. And watching him on Colbert, I thought, you know, this is a guy that's smart. First in his class at Princeton, in his class at Harvard Law. You know, just amazingly intelligent and ability to consume information. But my God, it's like he paints by numbers when it comes to people.
And pander.
Oh, you know, although he did get, he got Colbert, and Colbert usually, or Colbert, I guess, or how do you say it now?
Colbert.
You know, asked him about gay marriage, and Ted didn't take the bait. Ted said, well, I think it's an issue for the states.
Yeah.
And, Colbert wanted to go and push him and say, well, do you think it's right? He goes, well, it's an issue for the states. It's not in the Constitution. And he just went right down the constitutional argument.
Right.
And that's a winner, because that stops any liberal.
Yeah. No, there are a lot of things that I'm really impressed by. Like, there are policy points that I see, but then he says something like, the greatest threat to America's security is Iran, a nuclear Iran. It's like, no, it isn't. Shut the fuck up.
I know.
You're full of shit.
Tehran just admitted the first 5 American students to study over there as of today. They just approved the first, visas to go and study as graduate students.
Right.
And so the ice is thawing. We are going to be partners.
We need
long term.
We need Iran.
So to think that they're the great, like, to think that they want to attack Israel when everyone else around Israel wants to attack Israel immeasurably more,
right,
is hilarious. You know, and then they prey on the stupidity of Republicans who don't know the difference between Sunni and Shia. That's their bet. Is that, oh well, if we just say Muslims,
right?
You know, we talk about clocks at schools.
All right, now listen. The Pope seems like a nice boy. He looks like the kind of boy that your mother would be proud to have as Pope, okay? He comes to America. He looks, you know, he looks clean and articulate.
Whoa.
He's very, very... I like Pope Francis.
I know. You were a big supporter early on.
I'm not a big supporter. I just, like... I hate sacred cows.
Mm-hmm.
I always have, I always will, and I always am leery of anybody who loves an institution too much. Ratzinger, the previous Pope, Benedict, loved the institution of the Catholic Church and would protect it at all costs a little too much. That I hate, especially in a religious organization. Religion and Christianity especially is about freedom. And, you know, my whole existence, other than the dick jokes, is about what makes a person personally free, what in communicating those ideas, libertarianism, Christianity, you know, not being
the right way to live on an individual level,
treating other people with respect and love. And all of that springs forth from my Christian values, which is, you know, you are, which is at its fundamental core, freedom. And here's the best way to personal prosperity. I guess that's not the right, I mean, that has financial implications, but.
Yeah, like the virtuous life.
Virtuous life, exactly. A life well lived. And religion and churches and people get in the way of that personal journey if you let them. And so I always appreciate when somebody says, you have to look within yourself, you have to listen to your intuition and the spirit and come to meet God where he's at, and you don't need to go to a building or pay for me to have fancy gold slippers.
Or a private jet that flies you around.
Right. To meet God. The Catholic Church, by and large, I was christened Catholic. I won't say baptized. I was christened Catholic. My mom grew up Catholic. It's a weird story. My grandfather was Methodist, and my whole family was Methodist. And then he was at Okinawa, dying on the battlefield of a gut wound. And the Red Cross came and looked him over and said, he's gone. Leave him. And ran to somebody else. Grandpa never forgave the Red Cross. We, as a family, are not allowed to donate to the Red Cross.
Defund them.
Defund Red Cross now. This is my Red Cross story. So he prayed, for whatever reason, if you save me, Jesus, I will become Catholic and convert my whole family to Catholicism if you let me live. And he lived, and so my whole family is now Catholic.
Interesting.
So, except when we got here, my mom didn't like the priest at St. Susanna, so we started going to the Methodist church, and hence I am I'm Methodist, but I go to a free-range church, or all organic.
Locally raised.
Locally raised.
Very healing vibes.
Right. It's a mega church, actually.
Yeah.
It's great for me. I can sit in the third row. I know no one there.
Total anonymity.
I've been there for 10 years, never met a person that goes to that church. It's fantastic.
Fellowship.
Don't look at me in the eye. And so to me, Pope Francis is a breath of fresh air from a spiritual, like, he's a little dangerous. You put him in charge of the organization, and he's like, now we're going to do what's right for your spiritual health, not what's right for the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay, all right, you know. I mean, he's liberal. You can tell it because there's filthy rumors that he's been associating with Jesuits.
Oh, boy.
And Jesuits are very liberal in the Catholic Church. There are some of those nuns that don't wear the hats and the things.
Well, that's... Nope, can't handle that.
Nope. You got to wear the thing if you're going to be a nun.
I've seen Sister Act. That's how I like my nuns.
Right. And, you know, you associate with Jesuits, you get a reputation. And his reputation, I think, was confirmed when he came to America for whatever. Somehow it's like all broke loose. Like now he's this filthy liberal that no one can ever talk about. But that is why I like Pope Francis. He looks at it and he says, we're going to do what's right, not what's right for the organization. We're going to preserve the church as opposed to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
And there's a big distinction in that. You know, the church in Christian doctrine is made up of each individual Christian makes up the church as a fellowship, not the denomination that you give money to that has all this bureaucracy. That's not the church.
The hierarchy.
Right. And, that's the Catholic Church, the Methodist denomination, you know, all that stuff. None of that is religion. I mean, that's all religion. That's not Christianity. And it's just as political and just as businesslike. I mean, I was tempted as I watched him and I read through the stuff, like, to say, oh, well, he's a religious figure. He's not a political figure. I grew up at Plainfield United Methodist Church, where Greg and I met. Believe it or not, I met Greg at church.
Where Chris was saved and I was damned.
Right. And I became a profane Christian thanks to my youth pastor.
Yep.
One day I'll tell the story of the mooning on the church bus.
Oh, boy.
The church van being pulled over because Zach Pingleton decided to moon me in the car behind, and there was a police officer behind me. And so Jim just apologized profusely after he was pulled over, and yes, I know I'm a youth pastor. Yes, I know this is a church van.
The Lord commanded him. There's very little I could do.
No, I don't know why Zach Pingleton had his bare ass in the back windows.
It's what Jesus would do.
But that being said, I do love Jesus. He's my homeboy. Even if I love the profane as well. Now, what was I saying? Where was I going with this? Oh, I learned politics because I was involved in the Plainfield United Methodist Church. So if I, as an 18, 19-year-old, can learn politics through the hiring and firing of youth pastors and being involved in that process, and I can learn politics from that experience, then I think the Pope probably is pretty handy with politics.
Yeah.
You don't get elected Pope without a few dead bodies and, you know...
They didn't just pick him out of a monastery in Argentina up on a hilltop.
Right. Kissing a few hands, shaking a few babies, that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, he had some structural advantages being in one of the continents that actually had growth
right.
for Christianity. But I was all on board. I was shocked at the pick of him. I liked that he lived, or prior to becoming Pope, he lived out life as a Christian, as I would imagine is the right way to do it. You know, old car, walked most places, nothing of, you know, didn't live the high life.
He seems like what you'd want in a Pope.
Like a Bernie Sanders of a Pope.
Right. So like Ratzinger had like the big gold chair and the big gold slippers, and then the Pope comes in, Pope Francis comes in, and he gets rid of as much ordination as without, you know, pushing people to the limit, you know, and you compare Ratzinger's chair to Francis's chair. I guess I should call him Benedict. Benedict's chair to Francis's chair, and one is very simple, one is very ornate.
Yes.
You know, and
one's an adherent of tradition. You know, exactly. that was what meant a lot to him. That's how he experienced it. I loved the message he preached. I love the way he's gone after corruption and the restructuring of the Vatican Bank and the abuse of funds, the abuse of hiding wrongdoing by bishops and cardinals and priests. He had no issue admitting they had made mistakes.
Right.
And that is a huge sign of character to me, and a huge sign of somebody that is confident that the church is an institution of good. It is an institution of healing, you know, healing, caring for the sick, helping people with their struggles, clothing individuals, feeding individuals, going into war-torn areas where they don't have a chance. And I really liked that there was a man who decided to take his power and use it in that manner, like I perceived Mother Teresa to have done, where I know there are a lot of individuals.
Don't get Hitchens started. Don't, Christopher Hitchens will come in.
Yeah, but you know, he took it upon himself to mold the church in the way he had always wanted it. Now, granted, any institution is subject to just how much it can be reformed, but he's done, up until he came here, he's done an excellent job of really going... using his position of influence for the betterment of his followers and humanity. And then he decided he was going to become a political commentator, and that he was, just because he speaks directly to God via the red line, he also is qualified to speak about all things economics and all things environmental science and climate change and poverty and income inequality and all of these terrible things that capitalism has created and greed has brought to us. And that's where I decided I'm not a big fan of Frankie.
Now, you didn't not only just not become a fan.
I went full.
You memed him with a meme that can't be shown in
public. A 4chan meme. Old granny.
Oh, if you've seen the old granny meme.
Yep.
He did that to his face.
I did that to old Francie.
You can message me tomorrow or whenever. I
will be glad to distribute it to you, because it offends me when he thinks he is qualified to comment on economic systems, on capitalism, on all the incredible advancements we've made because of the pursuit of money, productivity, human ingenuity, and yet, because he sees poverty and experiences poverty in areas where they don't have economic growth, where their political institutions, via populist tendencies, actually prevent it, he sees extreme poverty.
Right.
And yet, because he's the Pope, he's decided to weigh in. He's going to get into his bully pulpit and talk about what's wrong with the world and how Francis would fix it.
Yeah.
And that really irked me, Because what he does, he talks about Mother Earth. And he talks about how we're hurting it and it will never be able to reverse the damage we've done. What he doesn't talk about is that without fossil fuels being in fertilizer, we would need 150 times the amount of arable ground we have right now, which is the exact amount of South America and Europe. Right. So all of a sudden, those have to be farms. So just kick out the Venezuelans, kick out the Argentinians. All of them are out. Now we got to make soybeans there for all the vegan food.
But my GMOs, bro.
I know. And I get it. Whatever. But then...
Did you just, I get it, whatever?
I get, it makes you feel good. It's not genetically modified, yada, yada, yada. You know, whatever. I feel clean and holy. I understand. Francis likes you. He doesn't like me.
No.
He's probably telling God right now, tell Linz he's in hell forever. But that's okay.
Well, we know the Pontifex is a regular listener to the show.
Well, he might be after seeing that meme.
I must listen to this show.
I would imagine I will no longer be allowed in a Catholic church after a wedding after that meme, ever, if it ever were to come out. But so he talks about that. He doesn't talk about how in Argentina, where he's from, he doesn't talk about that in 1900, they were 14th GDP in the world, and now they're 64th. And the reason why is because they've had socialist and redistributionist leaders and political parties that have wrecked their economy. When in 1920, the United States and Argentina had the exact same GDP, now they enter bankruptcy every 9 years, and we are the world's largest economy by light years.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't talk about that the average lifespan in 1900, when everything was more fair and it was an agrarian economy, and he loves these subsistence farmers and how noble they are, that the average lifespan in low-income areas was 30. Yeah, now it's just 63.
Yeah, it's just old-school liberalism.
It is just absolute uninformed crap that makes the left feel good, and that's what really bugs me. Now the left has their pope.
Right.
Here comes the left's pope.
And the left is not allowed to feel good about themselves.
Oh, yeah. I've always been a Catholic. I love being a Catholic. JFK was a Catholic. Shishmortion. Let me ask Francis about abortion.
Right.
Then you can shut up, left, because he's not going to come down on your side and want to talk about shouting your abortion hashtag on Twitter.
Another thing that had you rustled.
Oh, I am just so fed up with it's this fake outrage or fake support. Or Francis is so wonderful. Look, you know, he comes to Congress. He speaks. John Boehner's in tears. The president has a private meeting with him. They talk about the need to have global climate change, you know, combat global climate change and combat income inequality.
Right.
And no rational. Has he ever read a book? Has he ever read Rothbard? Has he ever read, any economist?
Milton Friedman.
Any of them. Say, Bastiat, all of them. No, he hasn't. He's read the book. He's read the Bible, and that's it.
You can confirm that on the show.
Yes,
inside sources confirm, according to our reporter Greg Linz, that the Pope has only read the Bible.
If he has ever read something that contradicts what he believes,
yeah,
I would be stunned.
He's like 80, and he's an old school liberal, and he just speaks like an old school liberal.
He's a South American radical like Che,
right?
And he praises Cuba for their equality. Even though it's all crap and there hasn't been a new car in 20 years.
Now, are you finished?
Sorry.
Are you done?
I'm not.
This is a great man of God.
Ahead.
No, you continue. Go
ahead. No, I'm done. You weigh in because I know that I've offended your Lord and Savior. And
he speaks.
I won't be at Christmas at the Spangle household.
He is the Jesus incarnate on earth. He is the representative Peter, the first pope, the greatest apostle. And I am truly offended and outraged by your comments today.
By your Roman Catholic Pope?
Yep. As I go to my mega church and do not attend the local Catholic church. Now, I guess what offends... I'm not offended. I hate that word because I'm not offended. I don't really care. Like, it's just another liberal voice in the world. And it just confirms kind of what we believe. You know, and so if you look at his speech...
Dorothy Day.
I didn't even get that far because I had to take a nap.
Catholic Workers Association.
Yeah, Workers Association. If you know, he basically betrays what his view of government is, which is to do good in the world, which is a perfectly acceptable position for a pope to have, I guess. If the government's going to exist, don't commit violence, do good on behalf of the poor. again, very good intentions, just the same as you know, like a Joe Biden or whatever.
Just all the murder that happens anytime there's a socialist regime anywhere in history.
Right. The end result is stupid.
Yeah. Lethal.
I would also, talking about dialogue, let's see. You know, he's talking about, wish I had pulled this up. Yours is a work which makes me reflect on Moses. Basically, he starts out addressing Congress that, and the Pope is anointing Congress as the representatives of the American people, which I kind of take exception with, because the government doesn't really represent me. No one in Congress represents my views. Amash and Massey are kind of close. I mean, my views are kind of that Congress shouldn't exist. So, you know, I don't believe that a political entity is the foremost representation of a people.
Yeah.
Just as there are, and that's sort of the problem with America, and because it is so young, you know, like if you went to France and you wanted to see the ultimate representation of French culture, you might go to Versailles.
Yeah.
A former head of state, history, but you're not going to go to, you know, whatever the French Congress is. You're not going to go to, you'd go to Parliament to see Big Ben, but you wouldn't go to see, you know, whatever
the bickering between the socialists and the communists.
So, you know, I just take exception with the Pope automatically anointing and assuming that our Congress is the ultimate cultural representation of the American people. But I guess we also make it that way. We choose that representation. You are the face of its people, their representatives. You are called to defend and preserve the dignity of your fellow citizens in the tireless and demanding pursuit of the common good. Common good. Uh-oh. For this is the chief aim of all politics, the pursuit of the common good. A political society endures when it seeks as a vocation to satisfy common needs by stimulating the growth of all of its members, especially those in situations of greater vulnerability or risk. Legislative activity is always based on care for the people. To this, you have been invited and called and convened by those who elected you. So he's saying, in his view, Congress is there to help, you know, those who are vulnerable, at risk. You know, it's just a very common liberal refrain.
Positive liberty.
That the government exists to take care of its people.
Protect
and
the goodwill of its citizens.
Yeah, exactly right. So yeah, I mean, it's...
None of it bugs you that a guy who isn't even remotely qualified to offer commentary is given a king's welcome and glorified and, oh, we should follow... You know, because you know what you're going to hear? Well, people that aren't in any way, shape, or form informed are going to start saying, they're going to have a Pope meme. We got to do something about this income inequality. I listened to the Pope's speech and it really moved me.
But
one like equals one pray.
But I guess the thing that, no, because it doesn't surprise me that he's a liberal, and it doesn't surprise me that the head of a major religious organization, because I don't consider the Pope special, okay? I don't consider the Catholic Church special.
You don't think he has the bat line to God?
No.
Oh, boy.
I think he's valuable just like the rest of us. And he is the head of state, so he has every right to come just like Netanyahu does. I mean, you feel the way that liberals felt when Netanyahu came and spoke to Congress.
Well, that's not true, because the Jews give all their money to Democrats.
Whoa.
I know, sorry. Okay. I'm just kidding, sorry.
All right,
sorry.
Wow, would you like to bash women too? Podcast, what kind of kitchen is this?
I know. There's bleeding wherever's everywhere, and I'm triggered.
Mittens, right, yeah. Away. So, I'm just not surprised that, like, a person of a religious organization is dipping his toes into politics. Popes have a long history of trying to influence policy. Pope John Paul took an enormous amount of shit in 2003 because he dared to say to Bush, don't invade Iraq, we don't need more war. And every Republican on the planet just was like, ah, I hate that guy. I don't care if he helped us stop communism. He's the devil now.
He was also a member of the Hitler Youth, right?
No, that was Ratzinger.
That was Ratzinger?
Yeah, yeah. I'm talking about Pope John Paul II.
John Paul. Oh, yeah, okay.
Benedict was
the Hitler Youth.
Allegedly. And, but, you know, Pope John Paul was active in politics and helped bring down the Soviet Union. I mean, Thatcher, Reagan, Pope John Paul II, Gorbachev, all enormous figures in ending communism. We didn't have a problem with it then. And I don't necessarily... like, he can come and give his opinion, and I know that he holds authority, but he doesn't... I just don't think he has authority with people that listen to this program or people our age.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, I think for older Catholics who are in Boston and they're 65, it's they're probably believing what he believes anyways, but for a 30-year-old, you know, they're going to grab a meme and share it, and it doesn't matter if it's from Think Progress or the Pope. It's just words on a picture that they can share with their friends because it's their personal belief.
Yeah.
You know, what I have a problem with is that it's my problem with every religious institution and every religious figure, including, you know, I go to my church because my pastor's not like this. When I go to a church and I hear the pastor giving a sermon about social responsibility of any type, influencing politics in any direction, influencing the culture in any way, I want to leave. Because each of us individually have so much crap to work on, and we are so far from being Christ-like that we need all the help that we can possibly get in being more Christ-like as individuals, as individual Christians. And so you have wasted an hour of my Sunday if you were telling me how I need to believe what you believe about the gays, or that I need to believe what you believe about climate change, or any other social thing. And I get that there's a place, and I know that if that's my personal preference. So I feel like the Pope missed an opportunity to share the gospel, which is not uncommon for the Catholic Church, frankly. I'll go ahead and say it.
Well, they have an amazing track record on science. I think Galileo would be in complete support of the Pope on climate change.
But, it, you know, I understand where you're coming from on greed, but inspire personal responsibility, inspire individual change in the heart. That's how you get people to change in societies, by individuals making changes, not by governments making changes.
Not by a wand.
Right.
You know, herding the cattle in a direction.
Right.
And isn't Christianity, I mean, on a different level, the battle of capitalism versus communism is no different to me than the battle of Christianity versus secularism and the like. And that's what bugs me, because with secularism and humanism, when you don't have, and not that Christianity has it, you know, an absolute ironclad claim on, you know, what is a virtuous life and how you should live. But Christianity to me is, if you rob someone of the choice, how can they ever make it? How can they ever make the moral decision? How can, if government dictates how you're going to live because it's the right thing to do, you can never choose to make the right decision.
Right.
And it robs the of an individual making a moral choice by going and feeding the homeless, regardless of his religious affiliation or if he even is. And yet, the Pope, who has absolutely no training in this whatsoever, at all,
right,
comes and abuses his position for what he believes, what he feels, not what he knows. And yet, it's not so much about our listeners, and it's not so much about, you know, the 60-year-old lifelong Catholic in Boston. To me, it's about the individual that's going to be voting in an election. And they feel it's their civic duty to vote, but not to be informed, because okay, that would be too difficult.
Right.
But they know that Pope Francis endorsed this and says, we need to do something about the environment, we need to do something about income inequality. And so out of his direction and their twice-a-week church attendance, they decide they're going to vote with the candidate that claims he's on the same side as the Pope.
Sure.
That is everything that is anti what Jesus would say, because render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Right. Which is really as political as
free
that.
Will.
Right.
Personal salvation. At the individual level, the Pope comes from a socialist collectivist background and training, which has been the worst. I mean, one country that had the greatest potential in all of South America has wrecked itself repeatedly because of collectivist tendencies and corruption.
And also because they didn't check themselves.
Very true.
If you don't check yourself,
you're going to wreck yourself like Argentina.
Let me tell
and
you.
Don't cry for them.
Terrible.
I know. But I don't know. This is a pope who represents individual salvation and yet goes and preaches force and collectivism and then tells the United States to take heed. And then, even worse, he makes Junipero Serra a saint, a guy. I mean, at the time it was New Spain. He sets up the first 9 missions out in California and uses capital punishment corporal punishment on the natives, beats them, forces them to work in the fields in these missions because they don't know better and I do. And yet he's a saint, which just goes into this knowing more. I know what's right and I'm going to make him a saint, regardless of whether the Native Americans were there first.
The whole notion of sainthood is a joke. And they really, I mean, as much as I like Pope John Paul and think that he was, you know, good in some respects, certainly the child abuse scandal is a black eye.
Bit of a problem.
A lot of that lays at Ratzinger's feet, though.
Oh.
Who was
sort of can't let people's confidence in the church be, you know.
Yes. But making him a saint, like, right away and dismissing the whole point of the Catholic Church is tradition, and then you just wash away all the traditions.
So then what's the point? Hierarchy?
For politics. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's basically like if you're a saint now, it's like winning the Nobel Peace Prize. You can win the Nobel Peace Prize and then obliterate innocent children across the world with drone strikes. So, I don't know.
It was a terrible choice. And if I were a Native American out there, like an Osage Indian, I would feel a bit offended that we were here, but we thought this guy came to preach the gospel of the Lord, and then all of a sudden we were in camp.
Right.
You know? And they were hitting our kids with switches.
I don't care about a religious figure's political beliefs. In fact, it turns me off to that figure. I don't want to hear it. I don't believe that is. I think that if God called you to speak out about politics, he would give you a podcast. And then your voice would be heard by 4,000 people. And here unto thee, follow me. So I'm not as outraged as you, just because it's not just another... It's just another guy who's in charge of a big institution trying to wield his political influence.
The world's largest.
For his political beliefs.
And richest.
In front of the world's largest and richest political body.
I know. I just, it makes me mad when, you know what? I'm going to start commentating on Catholicism.
You should. Well, go for it.
I think exorcism's a scam, you know. I think that, I don't know. I'm not so sure that water was turned into wine, but we'll see.
Okay, now you've gone too
now
far.
I'm going to rustle back, because if he's qualified to comment on economics...
Guess what? Transfiguration?
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah. You know what? I'm going to be a modern-day Martin Luther, and I'm going to nail a whole bunch of to the Vatican walls of the Vatican City. It just really made me mad, because everybody's going to go overboard. Oh, he's so wonderful. He cares about the people. Yada, 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 yada.
I guess it comes down to, anybody who's listening, it comes down to how much you're influenced by the heads of institutions and figures of stature.
Outside of Dear Leader.
Outside of me, I am the voice you listen to. I am your shepherd. Follow my voice. Let me lead you to prosperity. Send me money. And so if you, I'm sorry, am I supposed to wrap that? Oh, if you send me a tribute, then you will be saved for all of eternity in Wall Heaven, which where your bucket list will be filled.
That's for you, Aria Torres.
Shout out to one of our 3 female listeners.
Yeah, now 2.
Listen, I'm just saying, if you're a female listener out there, especially if you're single, send me a message. I'd like to just personally congratulate you for listening to this program.
Would you like to hold court with Dear Leader?
I guess it comes down to how much are you influenced. I can't really think of... I can't think of anybody that I would watch on television that would influence my... Like, Ron Paul really changed a lot for me in 2008 and shifted my thinking in a different direction, But I've been changed more by individuals. I mean, I
experiences.
Like, experiences and talking to other people in relationships more than listening to some man on the TV who holds an important position. I'm the type of person that if other people feel you're a big deal, I really won't probably show you the respect you deserve. I remember being yelled at by my congressman for not standing and shaking his hand when he walked in the room.
Who's that?
Steve Bouyer. He's like, when a congressman walks in the room, you shake his hand. I didn't see him walk in, and then like he kind of surprised me, and I didn't realize who it was. And by that time, he was already like yanking me out of the chair to stand when I met him, because he's a congressman, and you're supposed to show them respect. And that was the beginning of the disintegration. That was CPAC 2003.
The iconoclast
that is Chris Spangle was born
yes.
on that day.
And he hence was no longer a congressman after misappropriating funds to pay his son about $130,000 for non-existent web design work.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
Yeah. False prophet.
Right.
Not unlike Francis.
And Obama's the Antichrist, and and Pope is his false prophet. So, yeah, I don't know. We got to wrap up. But
we do.
Let's talk about abortion.
Shout your abortion.
What was this deal?
It was a movement online to stop the stigma of shame around having an abortion. And for me, I support a woman's right to choose because, one, out of practical reasons. Two.
What are those practical reasons?
No, I mean, they're going to happen anyway. Pass a law banning gravity, but gravity is still here.
Is the only thing that pulls out in your couch, in your apartment, your
Watch
couch?
It. Watch it. No, but I do. I mean,
I messed up the joke, damn it. All right, retake. Is the only thing in your apartment that pulls out your couch?
No, I have several drawers. Sorry. I stepped on it for you. Yeah. But I don't want people to think that I am some abortion giver.
the great abortion giver has arrived.
Yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and tell them what you dressed up as for Halloween one year?
Why? Okay.
You don't have to.
Okay, I did. But it's because every year we try to see what the most offensive Halloween costume can be. So I went as victims of the liberal agenda, and I taped Cabbage Patch Kids around my body, covered them in red-colored corn syrup, and then I was a trash can. I won.
Did you?
I won.
Did you?
Oh, yes, I did. And I, not a woman spoke to me or thought highly of me after that. However,
you have quite the record of
truth tends to not go over well. If I had tried to sell them to somebody, their parts, then I probably would be hailed as a hero.
Get on eBay and sell Cabbage Patch Kids.
Yeah.
You tend to not be popular with most of my female friends.
I know. I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
I feel like, you know, I try to be nice and accepting and then correct people when they're wrong.
And ask politely to make you a sandwich, that sort of thing.
That's you, my friend.
Hey, that was unsolicited. So, now, you...
This bothered me because the #ShoutYourAbortion.
Why did this have you bristled?
And even though I support a woman's right to choose, I'm not going to glorify it. I feel like that's wrong, don't you?
I absolutely do, because I don't agree with you. I believe abortion,
yeah, you,
abortion is murder. And
I feel the same way. I feel abortion's murder, but I don't think passing a law to prevent it's going to do any good other than harm more lives.
Right. I believe that abortion is murder. I just don't think that legislating it in any... it's just not...
It didn't do any good.
You can make it outlawed, but it's still going to happen.
Yeah, it's like the war on drugs.
Right. So, but I believe that it is a human life that you're killing.
Right. I consider it murder.
Right.
And so, but I support you to, you know, slaughter as many as you want. But, however, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right to shame you for making a personal decision. And I don't think it's right to glorify you for doing it. And yet, the movement, the reason that this was brought about to Twitter and as a social media campaign was to promote abortion,
mm-hmm.
was you don't need to feel bad. You don't need to respond to all those direct tweets that say, I'll be praying for you, or you killed your baby, or yada, 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 yada. You know, keep it a private, personal decision.
Yeah.
Handle it the best you can, whether it doesn't bother you at all or whether it does.
I've had people in my life that have gone through it and survived it, and it is something that a woman survives because it is such an emotional trauma. Like any emotional trauma, it doesn't matter what the emotional or physical trauma is. People should feel the need to speak out about that if that's what they need to heal. So sometimes when you have something in your soul, you need to get it out for it to heal. But what is the most appropriate venue for you to speak about? If you suffered physical or sexual abuse as a child, is it appropriate for you to go on social media and just make a glib tweet about it?
Start a social media campaign glorifying. I survived. I mean, like.
So it's, you know, and I didn't love the people in my life less because I personally have a different view than they did. I didn't love them any less. You know, I was there for them, and it was what it was. And it's, you know, that's the way that you handle it. It's
personal, individual decision.
And so I guess I hate when shame is ever used in any way, shape, or form, because shame and fear are the two things that stop people from succeeding in life. And we all make decisions, and you may regret one. You may not. You may feel the need to speak about it. You may not. What is the most appropriate way to do that? What I don't like is vilifying somebody who... If somebody is vulnerable and opens up and says, I went through this, this happened, here's my story, I think you're just a total bag of dicks if you don't view that as a person who is being vulnerable and opening up about their experience, and you start sending them hate tweets and telling them to kill themselves. You're just an awful human being.
God isn't proud of you.
No, not at all. No. You're an awful person. Just because someone, you know, and this is so much of our problem in relationships, is that we don't understand that other people aren't us. And you don't need to control other people's personal preferences because they don't match yours. You don't need to control other people's beliefs because they're not yours. You should have an open and honest dialogue about those beliefs to come to the best understanding you can, but you don't have to come to 100% agreement. But you should have love for that other person and respect for that other person and the story and the things that they've been through.
Empathy, compassion.
Exactly right. I don't like this because it makes it glib. It's
the intent.
Yeah.
This promotion, and it's fine. It's a procedure. It'll be okay.
Right. And then there's people, I don't know what's up with my mic. There's people, well, these two guys have penises, so they're not allowed to talk about my vagina. Well, then if it's a procedure, you're never allowed to promote or talk about prostate health ever.
And I'll talk about whatever I want.
Right. Because guess what? I have an opinion and a voice and
a podcast.
And a podcast, goddammit.
Yeah.
And if you don't want me to talk about my opinion, then that means that you are for censorship. And
absolutely.
You should absolutely look at what your beliefs are so you believe in you don't believe in freedom of speech.
No. And most likely they don't, because whenever something's inconvenient, goes out the window.
Right. It's like the douchebags that say, oh, well, you've never served, so you can't have an opinion on war.
Well, you've never won, so you don't get to talk about it.
Well, that's a brutal statement back, but accurate.
I know. Yeah.
So.
No. I don't know. I guess it really outraged me because it's such a private decision, and I don't know. I guess the women that did it, and I have judged them, but they did it because I guess they wanted it to be out. They were willing to put themselves out there so people that maybe were struggling with it felt like they weren't alone, mm-hmm. and to feel acceptance in a group of community, and maybe they find someone to talk with or email back and forth with,
right?
And work out. And that's a good sentiment, and that's a good thing.
Absolutely.
But I just don't know that hashtag shout your abortion is that. I mean, maybe write a book and go on a speaking, you know, go on.
Here's the difference. If your intent is to shout your abortion, to offer support to someone who is considering or has had the procedure or has gone through this, I'm cool with that, because we are a social animal that needs stories to survive. We need stories and self-esteem as much as we need food and water. And without it, we die. And in the depths of our own traumas, we need to hear from other people you're going to be okay. Here's how I got through this. Here's how you can get through it too. If that is your intent, then I find that admirable, that you would have the courage to speak about something that is not socially acceptable by and large, and you leave yourself open to attack to the point that people might physically harm you. I find that courageous. That's why I find Caitlyn Jenner courageous. Because
so brave.
So brave. That's why I find Belinda Ewart so brave. If your intention is to change my mind, then I don't...
Or to tell me how stupid I am or how wrong
shame,
I am.
Or to, I guess to use shame at me because we are on opposite sides of the issue, that's what I have a problem with. Because then you are using shame...
To stop diversity of opinion.
And guilt to silence someone like me who has a different opinion. Now, I guess I don't necessarily have a totally different opinion because there's gray in my opinion as opposed to black and white.
Yeah.
Like someone like Ted Cruz, for instance. But I just don't like when shame, guilt, fear, negative emotions are summoned in political discourse ever.
Yeah, like as tools to manipulate.
Right. Unless it's me calling someone an idiot.
Yeah.
Then it's acceptable.
That's okay.
You should be ashamed for being so stupid.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, if you're not... So, like, the person that's the feminist and is an ardent supporter of abortion and even goes as far as to announce hers publicly so people can come to her and commiserate or talk about the struggles they've had, that's one thing. And I only don't have respect for you if you can't consider and synthesize the opposing argument.
Right.
If you're incapable of holding two competing opinions in your head and saying, well, you know what, I've looked at both. I come down on this side either for whatever, you know, personal experience, practicality, whatever. You don't villainize the opposing side.
Right.
You go to them and say, listen, I understand and here's why. Here's why I made my decision. There's no need for it to be hostile.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all that does is ratchet things up and divide people and keep it. It's counterproductive for that individual because it keeps more people on that side who've actually done it quieter.
Yeah, the more aggression you use, the more controlling behavior you use, the more pressure you use, the more hostility there is, the less effective, the more you push that person away, you push them away from connection with you. If you want to truly connect with people and change their minds, you have to be open, authentic, honest, trustworthy, gentle. You have to listen.
You know? Not judge, just not listen. Judge.
And then you can find true connection with people, and that's how you change hearts and minds. It's not through bludgeoning them with your opinion or mocking them until they cry, unless they deserve it, and then we do it. Openly and
Canadians,
right?
Ted Cruz, Tea Partiers, and various popes,
right? Peyton Wright, Amir Rothschild, you know those guys.
Well,
Jonathan Upton.
Well, not John.
Not dear John. okay, we got to wrap up.
Yeah, we got to go. You got to run the board. Listen to Bob and Tom in the morning, listeners.
I was in White Smoke Ale, a bit on BobandTom.com. My very first bit. 8 years old, I've been dreaming of meeting Bob and Tom or becoming Bob and Tom or working in radio because of Bob and Tom. Listened to every one of their albums, all their bits growing up. Wanted to do this because of them. And 2 years ago, I got the opportunity to work there. And I got my first line in my first bit, my first Bob and Tom bit. Very inconsequential. Very, you blink, you'll miss it. But really cool for me.
Hell yeah.
So, all right.
Are you going to leave us all behind? Are you going to leave behind all the libertarians for comedic fame?
Prepare your head because I'm about to step on it.
All you little people, run out of here.
Right. Mittens, get out of here.
I don't have time for your freedoms and your complaining.
I'm going to get a hotter cat than you. It's time for an upgrade. You're 5 now.
Oh, you do need a more attractive assistant than Jeff Ebert.
Yeah, that is true. All right, kids. Final thoughts for the episode.
No, the only last thought, something to watch out for, is Russia is building an air base in Syria to support Assad. So, and we are allowing it, clearly. And so what's interesting is Israel is allying with Russia.
Okay.
Since we spent $500 million and only 5 of the people we trained with that $500 million made it into combat. Israel decided it's probably a little bit better bet to have the protective force of Vladimir Putin.
Nice. All right.
You?
Nope. Just continue to try and be a better person. And I'm talking about you, Greg.
Unlike Pope Francis?
Unlike Pope Francis, who's dead to Greg.
Sinner.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on this episode of We Are Libertarians. We love you for listening. Thank you for sharing. We miss our friend Chloe at Anagnos. Aganagos, Agajanian. She was supposed to be here tonight. She was going to be our abortion insurance. She was going to be the female presence, but had an emergency come up, so we'll have her back on soon. So, I don't know. Share this episode.
Yeah.
Like the Facebook page if you don't tell people there's a podcast. I'm surprised at how many times we post the podcast on the page. And somebody goes, "Do you guys have a podcast?"
Yeah. We're not just a meme farm.
Right. We have 9,000 people on the Facebook page and 4,000 listeners. Come on, people. All right. Thanks for joining us here on this episode. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
I did it.
Nailed it.